Have you ever heard of an army so elite, so feared and so shrouded in mystery that even their names sound like something out of legend? The Persian Immortals. 10,000 warriors who, according to ancient sources, never died, never faltered, and never diminished in number. But who were they really? Were they truly invincible? Or was it all clever propaganda by one of the history's greatest empires? Welcome to History Unpacked. If you enjoy the content, consider subscribing. We post every week and we welcome any feedback. Today, we unravel the truth and the myth behind the immortals of ancient Persia. We hope you enjoy today's episode. The story of the immortals begins with the Achaemenid Empire, ancient Persia's first and greatest dynasty. Founded by Cyrus the Great around 550 BCE, this empire would grow to span from the Indus Valley in the east to the Aegean Sea in the west. And standing at the heart of its military machine were these so-called immortals. According to the historian Herodotus, who wrote about them in the 5th century BCE, the immortals were an elite force of exactly 10,000 soldiers. Their name came from the idea that if one of them fell in battle, he was immediately replaced, keeping their number fixed and eternal. Herodotus, though often colourful and occasionally exaggerated, gives us the earliest detailed description of this formidable unit. But here's where it gets interesting. The term immortals might actually be a mistranslation. The Greek athanatoi literally means the undying or immortals. But some scholars believe Herodotus may have misunderstood or Hellenized the old Persian terms. In old Persian, the word ansia could simply mean companions or followers. Regardless of the linguistic hiccup, the idea stuck. The image of a deathless, ever-present unit of elite warriors was too good to resist. And it wasn't just Herodotus. Later writers and even filmmakers latched onto this legendary image. You may remember the mass demonic version of him in the movie 300. Historically accurate? Not really. But visually unforgettable. So, what did the real immortals actually look like? Forget bronze armor and capes. The Persian immortals were elegant. They wore fine tunics, trousers, and soft leather boots. Their armor included scale mail or quilted linen and wicker shields, light but practical. They carried bows, short spears, daggers, and sometimes slings. This was not a unit built for brute force shock combat like the Greek hoplites. The Persian style of warfare emphasized mobility, archery, and strategy. The immortals were not just muscle, they were masters of formation, tactics, and discipline. And their appearance? Immaculate. Gold jewelry, polished weapons, and matching uniforms made them a walking symbol of imperial power. When they marched, they were a moving display of Persia's wealth and order. Their gear wasn't just for show. The light armor allowed them to travel fast across long distances, and their composite bows could deliver deadly volleys from a range that most enemies couldn't match. This combination of agility and precision made them a nightmare on open terrain. They also had logistical support, including baggage trains and attendants. So the immortals weren't just soldiers, they moved like a self-contained force, organized and self-sustaining, which was a major advantage in the vast and varied terrain of the Persian Empire. The immortals were not just warriors, they were a personal guard for the king, an elite unit that accompanied him at home and in battle. Think of them as a kind of elite royal bodyguard. Cyrus the Great likely used a version of them in his campaigns to conquer Babylon and Lydia. Darius I, his successor, famously deployed the immortals in his various military ventures, including attempts to crush revolts in Egypt and expand into Greece. At the Battle of Thermopylae in 480 BCE, the immortals were present. Herodotus tells us that they were deployed after the initial Persian assaults failed to break the Spartan lines. They may have been Persia's best, but Thermopylae showed that even the best could lose. Their use wasn't limited to foreign campaigns. Within the empire, the immortals served as a visible reminder of royal authority. They were often stationed near the capital, ready to respond to internal revolts or protect the royal court. Their presence reinforced the central power of the king. They also likely played a role in ceremonial functions. When foreign dignitaries came to court, seeing these beautifully dressed, disciplined warriors standing guard would have made an impression. The immortals helped project an image of order and majesty that was crucial to the Persian model of kingship. So, were they really immortal? Of course not. They were flesh and blood like any other soldiers. But the idea of a unit so tightly organized that its numbers never changed created the illusion of immortality. It was a psychological warfare as much as it was military organization. Herodotus might have been dazzled by their order and dress. The Greeks, used to less centralized armies, saw this uniformity as strange and intimidating. The immortals, always replaced, always pristine, became a symbol of imperial eternity. Even their military limitations got dressed up in the myth. They weren't heavily armored, and against Greek phalanxes in tight mountain passes, that hurt them. But in open terrain where they could maneuver and use missile weapons, they were deadly. And let's not forget, history is written by outsiders as much as insiders. Greek sources often colored their depictions of Persian forces to make their own victories seem more impressive. But the very fact that the Greeks remembered the immortals in such dramatic terms shows how effective they were as a psychological and military force. When Alexander the Great swept through Persia in the 330s BCE, he toppled the Achaemenid Empire. The immortals disappeared with it. Or did they? Centuries later, during the Sassanid dynasty, which is the 3rd to the 7th centuries CE, another elite unit called the Immortals was formed. It may have been an intentional revival of the old Achaemenid name. However, these Immortals were cavalry, not infantry, but the symbolism remained. Even in death, the legend lived on. The Byzantines spoke of them, Islamic historians referenced them, and in modern Iran, the Shah's Imperial Guard in the 20th century drew on the legacy of the Immortals. The idea of an elite, untouchable guard unit is powerful. It speaks of control, continuity, and strength. And whether in ancient inscriptions or modern pageantry, the name Immortals still carries weight. So why are we still talking about them? Because the Immortals are more than just a footnote in military history. They represent how myth and reality blend in the stories we tell about power. They show how ancient empires used spectacle, discipline, and fear to build an image that lasted longer than their actual rule. They were not just soldiers, they were a statement, a message. When the immortals marched, they didn't just protect the king, they embodied the empire's claim to eternal order, wealth, and strength. Their story also reminds us that military power isn't just about weapons or tactics, it's about symbolism. The immortals were propaganda in motion, walking proof of Persia's dominance. That kind of soft power, conveyed through visual culture, still exists in modern militaries today. And in a way, they did become immortal, not in body, but in memory. So next time someone mentions the Persian immortals, remember, beneath the legend was a real unit of highly trained, well-dressed, disciplined soldiers who helped hold together one of history's greatest empires. And like all great legends, their story has only grown with time.